Hockey Insider Pierre Maguire. Brought to you by Ye Olde Orchard Pub, with six locations in and around Montreal. YeOldOrchard.com.
Along with Dave Trenadue and Amanda Stein this afternoon, Mitch Melnick with you until 6 o'clock. Good afternoon, Pierre Maguire, back home for the holidays in Toronto.
Very happy to be back home. Good afternoon to you, Mitch.
All right. Okay, so that was a pretty good hockey game. But the Minnesota Wild, for one of the rare times this season, Carey Price was not the best goalie on the ice.
No, we talked about Dubnyk yesterday. We also talked about the influence that Scott Stevens is having on that team. You could see it probably if you were at a game a little bit more than if you were on watching it on TV. But they're going to be a tough out, especially if Dubnyk keeps playing the way that he's playing. I mean, and Devin deserves a lot of credit. He's done a really good job. Bob Mason's the goalie coach there. He's done really good work with Devin as well.
Now, there was a goal that we didn't play, I'm going to get to here, by Jordan Schrader, and it's funny.
He just got called up, by the way.
That's right.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
I like Jordan a lot. He's a really good kid. Played internationally for the Americans at the World Junior, was a really good college player at Minnesota. First-round pick with Vancouver that just, for whatever reason, just couldn't get it going there.
So I mentioned after the game the other night against Anaheim where Carey Price was, in fact, a third defenseman on the ice all night, just handling a puck. The fans are going to grumble because one of these nights he's going to give the puck away.
As Price flicks it, Schrader knocked it down. Right hash mark, shot by Pacioretty. Schrader behind the net. He'll come out and shoot it, and he scores.
Carey Price, he looked up in the sky right away. He knew that he should have had that. He was disappointed in himself.
We had kind of watched some video earlier talking about him playing the puck a lot, and he liked to go to his strong side, and I kind of read it and was able to pick it off and then, take it behind the net. And you know, I was looking to make a play, and they kind of let me walk out from behind, and I just threw it on net and, you know, got a good break, so I'll take it.
That's what you like to call attention to detail, right?
That's scouting. That's Blair McAsee and his boys going to work, and the assistant coach just breaking down video, but that's scouting. You know, Roger Nielsen was probably, the late Roger Nielsen, for the younger ones listening, was probably as good a coach as anybody in the league when it came down to breaking down tendencies of the opposition. And he did it so well, to the point where we were playing them in a playoff series, New York versus Pittsburgh, and they lost offensive zone faceoffs on purpose because they detected a flaw in how we broke the puck out. It was a flaw that we had because we were a little bit lazy. And they lost on purpose so that they could go pile drive our defensemen off the faceoff wins, because we were very good at faceoffs. And they, for early parts of the series in 92, they took advantage of that and really punished us. And so what I did, or not me, but what our staff did, is we detected what they were doing and we made an adjustment. But they, yeah, that's attention to detail. There's no question.
And they were all going high as well. So many of those shots, two of them went in.
Because you're not beating Carey low. That's just how good Carey is and how big he is. And that's, again, the biggest thing is, Scotty used to say this all the time when you play against Dominik Hasek, just don't miss the net. Just get the puck on goal. Because what Dominik Hasek forces you to do is to miss the net because he's so aggressive. With Carey Price, he almost intimidates you into shooting low, because you think he's such a great athlete, and he is. So because of that, you're just trying to get the puck on goal. Well, the problem is that he just shuts it down because you shoot low so often on him. Now people are starting to realize you got to go high.
So which brings us to tonight.
It's another game. You know what? We understand that they got a really good team, and it's going to be a good challenge for everyone.
That might have been a leading question when Michel Therrien was asked if it's just another game. There's no way this team going into Columbus right now for tonight believes this is just another game, do they?
No, but you have to remember, this is really important. And you know how I like to try to get people to manage expectations? It's kind of like when you were hitting me over the head in a good way about Kirk Muller coming back. You know that I'm a fan, but I'm trying to manage the expectation on the coach, because I just don't want people to think he's going to recreate something and all of a sudden it doesn't happen and he's going to be perceived as the fall guy. It's the same thing with this game. This is the middle part of the year. It's right before the holiday break. The Canadiens have a lot of road trips that they're looking at in a very difficult January. Manage the expectation. Now, for 40 minutes last night, I can tell you, Columbus Blue Jackets were all world. But in the first 20 against Pittsburgh, they were not very good. So it's going to be very important for the Canadiens to have a good start there. Not an easy place to play.
All right. We'll get to that big win over the Penguins that Columbus had last night in just a moment with Amanda.
Pierre, I want to understand, though, what would be the harm in Michel Therrien just saying, we understand that this is a big game? Like, I understand the idea of wanting to manage expectations, but to say something like that other than giving that cliche line? Like, what's the major harm in that?
Because if you go in there and you've got a lot of injured people, which you do, you don't want to set it up so that your players feel like, oh, man, we can't beat these guys here, especially if you may potentially play them in the playoffs. So what you're doing is you're just saying, yeah, it's another game. We've got some injured guys. You don't overhype it. It's the middle of the year. You don't win the Stanley Cup in the middle of the year. You just don't. And that's what all these teams, especially the top-end teams, that's what they're looking at right now. And every meeting I've ever been in with big-time coaches that have played in a lot or coached a lot of big games or players that have played in big games, you don't overhype regular season games, especially if the potential is there that you might play them later on.
So it brings us to Al Montoya starting tonight. We've already had our say on the situation, and two things, or a couple of things, might have changed my mind last night. If the Canadiens had been bombarded, if Carey Price had to work really, really hard,
yep,
and face 35 to 40 shots, he faced 24 shots.
Yep.
He was not Carey Price. The nope. Odds of Carey Price playing two consecutive subpar games are pretty slim. This is the Columbus Blue Jackets. This is the best team in hockey. It's an Eastern Conference opponent. Sergei Bobrovsky is playing. He played last night in Pittsburgh. He's a Vezina Trophy-winning goalie. He's playing against the Montreal Canadiens in a back-to-back situation.
With no travel.
Okay.
Did not have a very hard night last night. He really, and McElhinney, by the way, the backup in Columbus, that's a skill testing question. I don't know if you've done that with your listeners or not. He's a backup goalie in Columbus.
Yes, I asked that earlier, actually.
he's really actually very good. Kid out of Colorado College, and he's a great kid.
But Pierre, sorry to cut, because I think I know where you're going here. John Tortorella specifically started him on Tuesday.
That's it. So he said he specifically started McElhinney on Tuesday in order to make sure that Bobrovsky was rested for this back-to-back situation.
Correct. So all I'm saying is John has a different team and is in a different marketplace than Montreal. They're trying to create buzz for their fans. They're trying to get people into the building. They're trying to build off this early season success and keep it going. I've walked in those shoes before, especially when I was in Hartford and we'd play Boston a lot, or we would play the Rangers a lot. Those were big games for us, and we tried to build off those. So you create a different expectation. With Montreal, you don't have to do that, especially when you're on the road.
I just wonder if they're really maybe more concerned than I originally thought they were about his knee holding up back-to-back.
I don't know about that.
Well,
I didn't want him playing in the World Cup. You know that.
Then I don't understand why he's not playing tonight. If they're not concerned about his knee, and he is 100%, then why not start him?
You're asking me a question that I can't answer.
Because you agree with me.
I don't have the medical reports, and I'm not there every day watching the practice. I watch every single one of their games. But I can't answer because I'm not there watching them practice. If I was watching them practice, I could give you a better answer, more informed answer.
But you would start him tonight if he was, assuming he was healthy.
Me, yeah. I probably would, but I would not build the game up. Amanda asked a really fair and a good question, but I would not build the game up if I were Montreal. I would not. I would just say it's another game for us. We're going on the road. We're looking at a hellacious schedule the rest of the year, and we want our guys to give ourselves the best present we can imagine. Go into Columbus and win 2 points, but it's just a regular game for us.
Off to the right of Murray. Draw, won by the Jackets again. Quick shot, score! Well, again, goal scorers score in bunches. And Hartnell does it again.
So I think that was Scotty Hartnell's second. He scored three.
Let's not get... And I love everything that goes on in this league. I really do. You know how addicted I am to this league? Scotty Hartnell is a very useful player.
He's not a goal scorer.
No.
Yeah.
Go back to watch him play in Prince Albert. That's not been his thing.
But he had a goal scorer's night, scoring the hat trick. Did Brandon Dubinsky drive Crosby nuts again, or what kind of game was this?
You know what? David Savard was really good. Dubinsky's always, you know, hard, but David Savard, there's a bunch of stuff going on there in Columbus. I've tried to warn you about it. I think Brad Shaw is one of the key components for Tortorella. I know Tortorella's getting a lot of acclaim, and he should. John's done a great job. Brad Shaw has done an amazing job. I was talking about it before on a different, I think it was in Vancouver, on Vancouver Radio. I was talking about it before, Mitch. There are three assistant coaches that have made gigantic differences this year, huge, humongous differences. One is Brad Shaw in Columbus. One is Kirk Muller in Montreal, and one is Scott Stevens in Minnesota. And one of the things that's happened in Columbus, their defense has really improved a ton. Every single one of them, but in particular, David Savard. David Savard really improved.
Now, you look, when a team is playing, like they're playing close to 800 hockey. They've won 10 straight. The Canadiens found out firsthand how good they can be. Is you look for, okay, over the next 50 games, they're not going to play 800, but are we going to see a dip of any kind? And you look in the games played column. They've played less games than any team in the league, so they got a heavy schedule coming up. That's really – and unless they like start losing players, like the Canadiens have lost some key players – I think this team's for real. Do you?
Oh, it's for real. No, they're for real. They are. They're for real. The power play makes them for real. They're number one in the league. That's not going away. That power play is really good, and it's very lethal, and it's very, very dangerous. The defensive improvement has been huge for them. Goaltending depth, we talk about McElhinney and Bobrovsky, is very, very good. They're in a good spot. And one of the things they have, and again, this is maybe a bias that I have, John Davidson's a firm hand on the rudder. I know Yarmo was a very good friend of mine. Kika Lyon is a general manager. But John Davidson, I worked with him. He's a firm hand on the rudder. And he will not allow this thing to dissipate. He will not. Nobody will get out of character in Columbus. And John's a big reason why.
And one of the things, you know, if you're talking about character there, a guy whose character seems to have changed over the last 14 months or so is John Tortorella. I mean, certainly he has a lot to do with what's happening here, but what's the biggest difference you see in him? Because we certainly hear it in his press conferences, but in terms of execution and dealing with players, what's the biggest difference you see from last year to this year that's enabled Columbus to have such a success, particularly with the younger players?
Amanda, I think the biggest thing is a better person.
Interesting.
He doesn't alienate people. He's not rude. He doesn't try to pick a fight all the time like he used to all the time. I think John Davidson has helped him a ton. I've spoken with John about it. I'm talking about Davidson now. I've spoken to John Davidson about it. I think the failure at the World Cup for the Americans really got him straight in a lot of ways. There was still that bravado. There was still that little nasty streak that John had talking about Tortorella. You don't see that anymore, and I think that thing set him up to have a really good bounce back, and I think John Davidson has helped him a ton.
Finishing up with Pierre McGuire for the year. Simon Slikas will be here next week with Rod, and Amanda will be here next week as well. I want to get to this last night.
Flyers with 90 seconds to go, likely in the game. Zajac back for more. Fakes a shot, gives to Green at the circle. He scores! Andy Green! Not sure if it was deflected. Regardless, the Devils make it a 4-0 game.
Possibly Kyle Palmieri off the side of the net.
It was Kyle Palmieri who got the goal. And Pierre, the Devils, Corey Schneider hasn't played well all season. He gets the shutout last night. I'm looking at the highlights, and I just replayed a moment with Bobby Clark from last year. It looked like vintage Fly. What the heck was going on?
Ray Shero did something that is very courageous, unbelievably intelligent, and it really got the attention of the players. He had a press conference 2 days ago, and he basically challenged the team. He didn't throw names out there. He didn't embarrass anybody. But it basically is a way you need to coach in the new millennial with millennial players. He challenged them publicly. He knew that Philadelphia was coming in there, a very good team, and he wanted to make sure that they were ready to play. And they were. And their coach really responded to what John Hines, what Ray had challenged the team on. And it's another example of, we talked about John Davidson and John Tortorella, Ray Shero and what he was able to put forth to his players to get ready for that game and not embarrass themselves on home ice as a team that had lost six straight games. He got their attention, and man, they played the way they... He says, you got to care. Alienate or scream or yell. He says, you got to care about playing in this league. You got to respect where we're going. He created a different set of organizational standards for his guys to follow in a press conference that he had, and the players bought in. Now, if they go into Pittsburgh and win tonight, that just shows you that it really did work. It really did. Now, we'll see, because Pittsburgh is going to be an angry team, but I I'm biased because Ray's an amazingly dear friend, but what he did was amazingly intelligent, especially dealing with millennial players.
Well, and for those who may have missed it, I mean, Mike Camilleri and Dale Weiss were fighting, among others.
Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't say Dale Weiss was fighting.
He went down.
Yeah. Here's what that meant, and I'm glad you brought it up, Mitch, is that Ray wanted his guys to understand you have to respect the sweater. When you're a player that's drafted by Montreal Canadiens and you come to Montreal, the team may not be great, depends on the year-to-year type of stuff, but you always respect the CH. Everybody does. It's just, it's a legacy thing. They're trying to build that in New Jersey, and that's one of the things Ray was talking about. And so, obviously, the guys responded last night.
He's a special guy that's going to be an incredible flag bearer for our state of hockey, and it's pretty special that he's playing in Toronto and having success.
Pierre, there's Shane Doan, who's playing in career game 1500 tonight. How significant is this game of Arizona hosting Toronto that has Austin Matthews, an Arizona product, in a game against Shane Doan, who, you know, has been with the Coyotes his entire career, playing in a milestone game? How big of a pride is this for an NHL in terms of being able to grow the game in non-traditional markets?
It's huge, Amanda. It's really gigantic. I was joking and quipping before with a pretty good friend of mine who played in the league for a long time. I said, that's where the league got it wrong. They should have just said, there's no draft lottery this year. Arizona gets the first pick overall. That's what they should have. I'm joking around. But this kid's phenomenal. He's not just a great player. He's well-groomed to being a star. He understands what you have to be in terms of relating with the media, relating with the fans, relating with your teammates. He's just, he's the real McCoy. Well, and, hey, listen, Toronto's gain is Arizona's loss. It'll be interesting to see how it plays out tonight, but he's a tremendous talent.
I'm anxious when I'm back on January 9th. I think the Habs host the Capitals that night, actually. Is where is Shane Doan going to end up playing for a Stanley Cup contender? And when does Colorado start moving some players out? Because they look like an expansion team right now.
It's not good there. This is really bad. They've completely lost whatever identity Patrick Roy was trying to create there. And believe me, he was. I had some amazing conversations with him in terms of what he was trying to build there with Joe Sakic. They've completely lost whatever he's been trying to do. It's not good. I don't know what they can do. If you trade Matt Duchene and Gabriel Landeskog-Mitch, you're just basically saying we surrender. And you don't just surrender for the rest of this year. You're surrendering for 3 or 4 years. That's going to be hard to sell season ticket packages that way, I'm telling you. Very hard. In terms of Shane, I hope he goes to a team that has a legitimate chance. If they're going to trade him, I don't know. But if they are, I hope he goes to a team that's got a legitimate chance to win the Cup. Not a team that's like a fly-by-nighter, but a team that's got a legitimate chance to win the Cup. He can still play. If he's on your third line, he can really help you. If he's on your second power play, he can really help you. If he's in your second PK, he can really help you. But if he goes to a team that's really good, that has a legitimate chance to win, that would be huge for him.
Pierre, hope to see you during the holidays. Thanks again for another terrific season. Simon will be in next week, over the next couple of weeks, with Rod and Amanda. And have yourself a great holiday with the family.
It all started with you. I can't thank you enough. Every single year, I'm so grateful for you and all the support. And I love doing this. I can't wait to visit with Simon and Amanda. Amanda, you've been great. Good job tonight.
Thank you.
But Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Happy Hanukkah to everybody out there. Have a great holiday season. Take care of your families.